The following is a lecture entitled How the Jiva Fell Down, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on July 23, 2014 at Vaishnava Summer Festival, Baltic 2014, in Harmony Park, Lithuania.
Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Maom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shivate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So today we're going to talk about a controversy. Although it's not really a controversy. It appears to be a controversy. So much so the GBC made a resolution about it. So this is the how did the jiva get into this material world? We'll be reading from two different source materials in today's seminar. One is an essay that Prabhupada wrote for the devotees in Australia when they were discussing this controversy. And the other source is an article by Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, one of the exalted Prabhupada disciples. This article was published in Bhakti Godhead magazine in English. It was called On Conceiving the Inconceivable. So first we'll read the first three paragraphs of his article. Rabindra Swarup states, he says, we conditioned souls are originally Krishna conscious living entities, but owing to a desire to be independent of God and to be the supreme ourselves, we have fallen from our original position and have become covered by Maya illusion, who provides us with false identities of gross and subtle matter. By the grace of Krishna and his pure devotees, we fallen souls can regain our original Krishna consciousness and in so doing go back to Godhead. This simple dramatic narrative tells the story of who we are, where we came from, how we fell, and how we can be restored. Srila Prabhupada tells us this story, and so do the previous acharyas and the scriptures. This story is the profoundest truth about ourselves, and there is no fault in it. Yet, the story becomes complicated when we discover from the identical infallible sources that the souls in the spiritual world are nitya-siddha, eternally or perpetually liberated souls, and that no one falls from the spiritual world. Further, the souls in the material world are nityabuddha, eternally or perpetually conditioned, and we learn that their conditioned state is anadi or without any beginning. These statements also are true without a doubt. How can these facts be reconciled with the story of fall and redemption? So what we have here is two worlds, the spiritual world and the material world. We tend to think that these of the spiritual world in the terms that we're familiar with here in the material world. But actually the spiritual world is just the opposite of what we have here. So what we're talking about is what takes place when the living entity falls from the spiritual world to the material world. I have an experience in my traveling and preaching. I circle the globe twice a year. It never ceases to amaze me every time I fly from Melbourne to Los Angeles. From Australia to the U.S., I cross the international date line going east. Now just imagine the scenario. It's 7:30 in the morning, we leave from the temple in Melbourne. At 8:30 we check in for the flight. At 10:30 a.m. we take off. And then at 7:30 a.m. we arrive in Los Angeles on the same day. That's when I was leaving the temple. I haven't even checked in yet, but I've already arrived at my destination. So if I were to write my diary, you know, write it down in my daily diary that day, what I did. Well, 7:30 I checked in. 7:30 we left the temple and I arrived in Los Angeles. At 8:30 I checked in to the flight and I also got checked into my room in Los Angeles. At 10:30 we took off from Melbourne. I had breakfast in Los Angeles. And you see how amazing it is when you cross the date line going east. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it's just every time it boggles my imagination. How is it possible? Here I am in Los Angeles and I haven't even left from Melbourne yet. According to my watch, which I reset when I cross the date line. So just imagine what an amazing experience when you cross the Virajar River that divides the material and spiritual worlds. It's millions of times more amazing. So in this Bhakti Gadat article, my beloved godbrother, Rabindra Swarupa Prabhu, he's described in detail some of the differences between how the spiritual and material worlds function. I'm not going to read, I'll just speak from it, so it may help you to see some of the names there. See, here we are in the earth planet, and then there's also higher planets. There's the abodes of the demigods. There's Brahma's planet also, Satyaloka, Brahmaloka. Time acts differently on the higher planets. Just like when Brahma stole the boys and the calves, a whole year passed on the earth, but for Brahma it was only 1 second. There's another example here in the Bhagavatam. There was a king, his name was Maharaj Kadumi. On page 2. And he had a daughter named Revati. And he wanted to get her married. So he thought, well, who is the best person to arrange a marriage for my daughter? That would be Lord Brahma. So he took his daughter from the earth planet to Brahmaloka. At that time, the Gandharvas were doing a recital for Lord Brahma, playing their beautiful music. So Maharaj Kadumi and Revati, they had to wait until the concert ended. So when Maharaj Kadumi explained to Brahmanji, I'm requesting you can arrange a marriage for my daughter. Lord Brahma burst out laughing. He said, everybody that you would have wanted for to marry your daughter, they're long gone. They're long gone. They died a long time ago. Anyone that you would have wanted to marry your daughter to on the earth planet, they're all gone. They're from the top of page 2. You see, during that brief, during the brief recital with the Gandharvas, 27 yuga cycles had passed, which is about 160 million years had gone by on the earth planet. So all the potential husbands for his daughter, even his own kingdom, they wouldn't even know who he was when he went back. We never heard of you. He was the king. They wouldn't even know who is this Maharaj Kakudmi. They wouldn't even know who is Maharaj Kakudmi because it was 160 million years had passed. So just imagine if you took a closed circuit television. And you, if you're in Brahmaloka and you do a closed circuit TV of what's going on here in Lithuania, you see. Everything would be going very fast. Lithuania would come and go within a second, you see. Mountains would come, oceans would come up, but oceans would go down, the whole thing is going to like that. Civilizations would come, civilizations fade, just like a snap of a finger. Once Roman civilization, boom, boom. Greek civilization, boom, boom. Spanish Empire, British Empire, boom, boom. Just like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And what if you did the opposite? What if here on the earth you took a closed circuit TV to see what's happening in Brahmaloka right now? Well, you'd have to use time-lapse photography to see something happening up there. You know, like every 1,000 years you go clip, take one shot every 1,000 years. And then you could see something happening. Otherwise, it looks just frozen. So the point is, the higher you go, time slows down. So Rabindra Sarup, he drew in his article a diagram of a triangle, you know, like this, and it goes like this, and it has an opposite on the other side. It's two triangles with the tips on top of each other. You see, like this triangle, and another one comes here. You see what I'm saying? So down here on the bottom, you see, Brahma is 100 years, which is up here near the top, 100 years. Down here, it's like my arms can't go far enough. 311 trillion years, you see. The Then you go finally all the way to the top, that point in between the spiritual and material worlds. Time goes to zero. There's no time left. You see? So what does this mean? When the living entity falls into the material world, what time is it? There's no time when that happens. That's why Prabhupada says you cannot trace out that time when the living entity fell into this material world. Because it happened in no time, and time was non-existent. So that's when it says in the scriptures the living entities don't fall, there's no time when they actually fell. So if I ask you when was that time when you began your stay in the material world, you have to say, well, there was no time when I actually began my stay here. Therefore, you and me, we are eternally conditioned. And when you go back to Godhead, you again cross to that point of timelessness. So when you get back to God, they say, well, how long have you been here? Well, there was no time when I entered here. So I've always been here. You see, that's why you're eternally liberated when you're in the spiritual world. And why you're eternally conditioned when you're in the material world. Because that point between the worlds is a place of complete timelessness. So, we'll read about it more. Now, there's an article by Prabhupada, which is very nice, if I can get it here. Prabhupada, this is recommended reading from the GBC, this article I'm reading you now. It's written by Prabhupada. Prabhupada, in the GBC resolution from 1995, when this whole controversy was discussed, it was stated that the GBC quoted this purport from Prabhupada. And I'll give it back to you. Go ahead and say what I just said. Prabhupada has written, the original home of the living entity in the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, both the Lord and the living entities live together very peacefully. Since the living entity remains engaged in the service of the Lord, they both share a blissful life in the spiritual world. However, when the living entity, misusing his tiny independence, wants to enjoy himself, he falls down into the material world. This is an essay Prabhupada wrote. It's called Crow and Tall Fruit Logic. Prabhupada gives some amazing insights into this fall, no fall controversy. Here's the first paragraph. We never had any occasion when we were separated from Krishna. Just like one man is dreaming and he forgets himself, in dream he creates himself in different forms. Now I am the king, discussing like that. This creation of himself is as seer and subject matter are seen, two things. But as soon as the dream is over, the scene disappears. But the seer remains, now he is in his original position. Our separation from Krishna is like that. We dream this body in so many relationships with other things. First, the attachment comes to enjoy sense gratification. Even with Krishna, desire for sense gratification is there. There is a dormant attitude for forgetting Krishna and creating an atmosphere for enjoying independently. Just like the edge of the beach, sometimes the water covers, sometimes there is dry sand coming and going. Our position is like that. Sometimes covered, sometimes free, just like at the edge of the tide. As soon as we forget, immediately the illusion is there. Just like as soon as we sleep, dream is there. We cannot say, therefore, that we are not with Krishna. As soon as we try to become Lord, immediately we are covered by Maya. Formerly, we were with Krishna in his lila or sport, but this covering of Maya may be of very, 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 very long duration. Therefore, many creations are coming and going. Due to this long period of time, it is sometimes said that we are ever conditioned, but this long duration of time becomes very insignificant when one actually comes to Krishna consciousness. Just like in a dream, we are thinking a very long time, but as soon as we awaken, we look at our watch and see it has been a moment only. Just like with Krishna's friends, they were kept asleep for 1 year by Brahma, but when they woke up and Krishna returned before them, they considered that only a moment had passed. So let's look at a practical example. You're in Krishna's pastimes, one of his eternal devotees. And Krishna opens his lunch bag. Mother Jasoda passed his lunch for him, you see. And there's a really nice gulab jamun there. And you look over that gulab jamun and you think, why I can't enjoy that gulab jamun? And you turn your head away and Maya grabs you, zip. You go into this sleep. It's called Svapna Stan. You go into this dreamlike state. And you dream, now I am Lord Brahma, the Lord of the entire universe. And that goes on for a long, 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 long time, millions and billions of years. And you don't feel very satisfied and you think, well, maybe being Indra would be better. So then you start dreaming that you're Indra. And that goes on for millions of years, and you try being a Gandharva or an Apsara, and you try a yogi and a jnani. Then you try being a king. You try being a wealthy businessman. But that doesn't satisfy you, so you try being a pauper, a poor man. Then you try being a leper. Then you try being a dog, and a cat, and a tree, and a bird. And you try 8,400,000 different ways to try to enjoy. And the dream goes on and on and on, and it just becomes this almost horrible quagmire. Ah, it becomes intolerable. And then you meet a spiritual master. He says, why are you suffering here? You're the eternal servant of Krishna. Why are you thinking that you're that body? Come back to your original position. Chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then whoop, you come back and you look over and Krishna is just now putting in his mouth. That whole unlimited eternity of hell you went through was just that brief second between when he grabbed it here and he brought it to here. And Krishna looks over at you and he goes like this. And he tosses the club diamond to you. Because he knows what you went through.
You see?
And your whole... So it was just a dream state, actually. You weren't really Brahma. You weren't really Indra. You weren't really a yogi or a jnani or a millionaire or a king or a leper or a pauper or a tree, a cat or a dog or a grasshopper. You were just trying to enjoy somehow in this illusion that you're all these things. And you never really fell. You were actually, your identity was always there, but you just thought you were somewhere else, you see. So Prabhupada explains like that. So sometimes devotees want to debate about this, fall and no fall. But actually they're both true. They're both true. Because both things are stated in Prabhupada's books. But it's a very sophisticated philosophical understanding to understand how they're both true. If you would like a copy of this essay, you just send me an email. I'll send you a copy of the essay so you can study in your own time. You can email me at SDA, that's, I'm Sankarshan Das Adhikari, and my initials are SDA. So you just send an email to SDA@backtohome.com. SDA at back to home, BACKTOHME.com. And I can send you a copy of this essay, which is recommended reading by the GBC for those who like to study this controversy in more detail. But the simple understanding is that we did fall down from the spiritual world. And it's a fact, we did. It just doesn't happen in the normal time-space continuum that we're used to understanding with everything within. Prabhupada says it very clearly on his Hare Krishna mantra address. You don't have that there. It's a simple sentence. This is what he says. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. This consciousness is the original energy of the living entity. So by our very nature, we are Krishna conscious. Just like a fish, what is his nature? Is a fish a land creature? Or is the fish a water creature? The fish is a creature of the water. So we are creatures of the water, so to speak. We are creatures of the spiritual world. We are spiritual energy. But we are also described as tathasta shakti, or marginal energy. Now one might question, well, that's confusing, how we can be spiritual energy and marginal energy at the same time.
Вопрос,
I'll tell you why. Krishna doesn't want robots as his associates. Would you like to be a robot? Or would you rather have free will? Let's say we're arranging your marriage today. Let's say today we are arranging your marriage for you. You have your choice. You can marry a robot or a human being. The robot will never argue with you. They'll say yes, yes, yes to everything you say. They'll say yes, 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 yes. Never argue. The robot is fully programmed to always agree with whatever you say and never disagree with you. How many of you would want to marry the robot? Let's see a show of hands. Who wants to marry a robot? No one wants to marry a robot, you see. On one hand. Well, I have one for you out in the parking lot. Or how about marrying a human being? Now the brahmacharis don't get agitated. This is only an example, okay? We encourage you to remain brahmachari. This is a preaching example. Brahmacharis are expert preachers, so they understand preaching examples. They're not meant to encourage them to get married, okay? The point is, we would want to marry a living being, not a robot. Or let's say you're a brahmachari and you have a lifelong preaching partner. You're going to preach together for the rest of your life with this one preaching partner. Same example. The point is, we would rather have a person. Because there's no rasa with a robot. You can't have rasa or relationship with a robot. It's not possible. Therefore, even though we are spiritual energy, Parapakriti, Krishna is also manifested us as Tathasta Shakti, or marginal energy, who have a choice of going this way or that way at every minute. You can love Krishna, or you can leave Krishna. Eternally, it's your free will. So Krishna has made us like that, so that we can have interesting relationship with him. Krishna would be bored if we were all robots. But they were all individuals who can reject or accept Krishna as we so wish. That makes us very interesting associates for Krishna. So that's why we have a tendency to either love Krishna or leave Krishna. Now one could ask, well, it's so wonderful in the spiritual world, how anybody could ever want to leave Krishna? But if every living entity has the free will, doesn't there have to be some chance that you would misuse your free will? Of course, there had to be some chance. So mathematically, what would the chance be of your misusing your free will? It would have to necessarily be the smallest possible mathematical number, which is 1 divided by infinity. Now, some papers are passed around. We're going to have questions in about 3 or 4 minutes. So if you have any questions, write them on the paper. So what's, you take one, now how many living entities are there in the spiritual world? A million? 10 million? 10 billion? An infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world. So if you take what is the odds of a living entity falling down, which is 1 over infinity, and multiply it times infinity, what do you come out with? What is the smallest fraction of infinity? What does it equal? Infinity. Therefore, Prabhupada says there's an infinite number of living entities who have fallen into this material existence. So that's how we can understand some of these phenomena. So are there any questions? Here's a question. Good. We have a whole 20 minutes, so if you have, now's your chance to ask a question anonymously. No one will know. If there's some controversy or question you never dared ask in public, now's your chance. Okay. Oh, it's in Lithuanian or Russian. Okay.
What is the position of spiritual master? Living entity is sleeping this...
What is the position of the spiritual master, okay, and then?
Living entity is sleeping his position.
Is he sleeping?
Huh? Living entity is dreaming.
Living entity is dreaming. So what is his position?
And
anyone who was taken to this pathway of Krishna consciousness, they are in the process of waking up.
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
So the spiritual master, he's awake. What is the spiritual master's position in regards to the sleeping and waking, right? He cannot understand the question, so I certainly can understand it, but I will guess. Oh, here's the questioner here. He can clarify. But so write it down again in clearer terms. Okay, here comes some. Let's see. English is preferred if you know that. If someone decides to go back to Krishna, why doesn't he return instantly? Why does it take the whole life? Actually, it can be done instantly. There's one great king. He did that. Maharaj Khatvanga. He within 1 second he achieved perfection. So why we're not able to do it? Well, note the question: if one decides to go back to Krishna, the simple answer is we are not decisive enough. Yeah, I'd like to go back to Krishna. But I'd like a little sense gratification along the way. That's why we're not going back immediately.
See.
Yeah, a little sense gratification along the way. Okay, next question. There's some... Where are they? Oh, do you have them?
Если душа уже получила опыт плохого выбора после возвращения к Кришне, будет ли это гарантией того, что она больше уже не упадет? If a spiritual what experience of a bad choice?
I don't know what the question is.
No, I'm reading.
Oh, you're answering something.
I'm saying it in English.
What's happening?
He's translating.
I'm translating the question.
But I just did.
No, it's in English.
Okay, well, I can't hear that well, so you have to tell me what he's saying. I can't hear what he's saying.
Can you hear that?
I'll try. I'm deaf, it's a problem.
Okay. If spirit soul already got...
Is it English?
No.
Okay.
Already got experience of a bad choice, will it be a guarantee that she will never go back again?
Okay. If a living entity falls down in the material world... And he realizes what a stupid mistake he made. And he goes back to Godhead. Could he fall down again? If your little child has always been warned, do not stick your hand in the fire. If you always told your little child, do not stick your hand in the kitchen stove flame. He might wonder why mommy tells me it's so beautiful. Why she tells me not to touch it. So one day the little boy, he's so curious, he wants to try what it feels like, wants to touch that flame. It's so pretty. And he burns his hand. Will he do it again? No. Could he do it again? Sure. Would he be so stupid to do it again? No. So you could fall again if you wanted to. But once burned, twice shy. You won't do it again. Okay. What are the ways that one can serve the spiritual master? If you want to know how to be a perfect servant of your Guru Maharaj, all you have to do is study Prabhupada. And see how he was the perfect servant of his spiritual master. What did Prabhupada do? He took the order of his spiritual master to spread Krishna consciousness to the Krishna consciousness to the English speaking world as his very life and soul, and he never deviated. So if you do what Prabhupada did, you'll be the perfect servant of your spiritual master. Whatever instructions your Guru Maharaj gives you, you take them as your life and soul. And never deviate. Why did Krishna think that? Why Christians think that Christ is the only name of God? My Christian friends think I'm talking to the devil. Oh, this is the part two, okay. Okay, well, the thing is, Christianity, they are speaking on a very elementary level. Somehow get them connected to God consciousness. So they say, accept Jesus or you go to hell. Accepting Jesus is a very good thing. I accept Jesus. Actually, Jesus brought me to the movement. Therefore, I say, praise Jesus. He brought me to ISKCON. If Jesus, when Jesus comes again, he'll be a Hare Krishna. Yeah. But the Christians don't understand Jesus, you see. He was preaching into such a people. He had to tell them not to kill, and they tried to kill him. They were not very philosophically elevated people. So he presented in a very, very elementary way. But if one actually goes deep into the science of God, even just a little deeper. If my father can have two sons, I mean, he did. I have a brother, okay? I have a brother named Bob. So my father had two sons. And they say God can only have one son? And my father is greater than God. But that doesn't make any sense. So their philosophy is not really philosophy, it's just a sentiment. We don't want to disturb them in their sentiment. We encourage them to become truly dedicated to Jesus, who protected the poor innocent lamb instead of killing it. So we encourage them to remain as Christians, but to stop killing the animals, especially the cows. Okay, the question has come again. What is the position of the spiritual master who is in the material world? The living entity is dreaming this position, or is the spiritual master is dreaming this position, or he is the spiritual master even when he comes back to the spiritual world? No. Spiritual master is a real position. It's not just a dream. In other words, is the spiritual master just a dream, or is it real? It's not really, it's just part of the dream. And when you go back to God, he wasn't really the spiritual master after all. No, that's not true. The proof is, Prabhupada has written in the Bhagavatam, the spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions and his disciple lives with him. So the spiritual master you accept here in this world, that is not part of the dream. That means you're coming out of the dream. And when you go back to Godhead, you will recognize your spiritual master. Everybody will have their rasa, but you'll still remember, this is my spiritual master. And you'll still be devoted to him. That's an eternal relationship. How important to fully fast on Ekadasi and stay awake the whole night long. It's nice if you can do it. Prabhupada told us in Dallas, he said, Ekadasi means no eating, no drinking of water, and no sleeping. That's the meaning of Ekadasi. Did Prabhupada ever say we had to do that? No. How was Ekadasi introduced by Prabhupada to the devotees in ISKCON? Do any of you know what was the way Ekadasi was introduced to the ISKCON devotees? It was a feast day. We had an Ekadasi feast. Every day it was simple prasadam, but on Ekadasi you got a feast. Wow, twice a month, a special feast. Ekadasi, ki jai, a feast. No grains and no beans, but it was a Ekadasi feast, you see. So Nirjal was not done when Prabhupada was here by anyone that I ever heard of. One of our sannyasis, Tamal Krishna Goswami, pushed Nirjal Ekadasi after Prabhupada left. It's actually very nice. I enjoy Nirjal Ekadasi. Especially that breakfast when the sun comes up the next morning. I really enjoy that a lot. My wife has an incredible recipe. You take milk and water, 50%, and put sugar, or actually honey. Milk and water, 50% with honey, and you can drink a whole quart of that stuff. It's so good. A whole liter, you know.
Берется вода в баллон с молоком, добавляется мед, и этого можно выпить целый литр.
It's my favorite prasadam, that break, Nirjal Ekadasi breakfast. My favorite prasadam every year. I love that the best. But you don't have to do Nirjal. It's voluntary. You can't handle it? Take some fruits or take some potato. Take some garanga potatoes. You know. It's optional. But it is nice. It's actually when observing Ekadasi is one of the 10 basic items of Krishna consciousness. If you go to chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion, which is discharging devotional service, there is a list of 64 items which constitute the practice of sadhana bhakti. In that list, the first 10 are the most important. Number one, take shelter of a spiritual master. The first thing to do, you see, take shelter of a guru, first thing you do. Second thing you do, you get initiated. The third thing you do, you obey your spiritual master's orders. Shelter, initiation, and following. Or obeying. Yeah, obeying. And then your spiritual master engages you in following Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas. That's the fourth step. The fifth step is you inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. That's the fifth step. The sixth step is to be prepared to give up anything material, in the service of the Lord. In other words, you may have to accept something you're not like to accept, like getting up early for Mangalarti. Or you may have to reject something you would not like to reject, like tea. That's the sixth item. The seventh item is, let's see, to reside in a holy place like Vrindavan or Dwarka. Or Harmony Park during the Baltic Festival. That's the seventh item. And then the eighth item is to only deal with the material world insofar as is necessary and not beyond that. The ninth item is to observe Ekadasi. And the tenth item is to worship sacred trees like the tulsi or the banyan. Do you have any banyan trees here in Lithuania? So worship the tulsi tree very nicely. So these are the 10 foundational things. And if you can't remember all 10, just remember the first 3. Prabhupada explains the first 3 are the most essential. Take shelter of Guru, get initiated by Guru, and obey Guru. These are the 3 most essential items for sadhana bhakti, according to Prabhupada. Okay, how to realize that I'm not this body? I try to practice Krishna consciousness. But still, it is so hard to see myself as a spirit soul. Well, the first thing, we have a special yoga asana that's very beneficial for this. To help you realize you're not your body. It's called obeisances. You get down and you offer your obeisances, you see. The more you offer obeisances to Guru and to Vaishnavas and to Krishna, the more you realize you're not your body. So take every available opportunity. Just like last night when I arrived from the airport. Many disciples were there to greet me. But I looked over there, and who was there? B.B. Govinda Maharaj was standing over there. He'd gotten out of the car just behind me. So I saw, oh, here's a golden opportunity for me to advance in Krishna consciousness. I got down on the sidewalk and offered my obeisances to B.B. Govinda Maharaj. So the more you offer your obeisances, the more you realize you're not your body. So just remember, obeisances, 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 obeisances. That's how you realize you're not your body. In practical terms. We have 3 minutes left. Are there any more questions? Let's do a Russian or a Lithuanian one now. The English ones are prepared. Take note if you can do it in English. Okay?
If this material world is compared to the dream, what about Lord's pastimes here?
If the material world is compared to the dream, what about the Lord's pastimes here? We're not saying that when Prabhupada says it's a dream, it doesn't mean it's false. That's the first thing you have to understand. The dream is also real, but it's not the way thing. It gives you a distorted vision of what it's happened. The dream is there. It's not that it's not there, but it's a distorted version of reality. Just like a man may dream of a beautiful woman, you see. And he wakes up and he passes seven in his sleep, you see. So he had a real experience in that dream. But there was no actual woman there, you see. So a dream isn't false, but it's different from what it appears to be, that's so. So I'm dreaming on this body that I'm a white male or a black woman or whatever. I'm dreaming these things, you see. It's not that I am false. I am real. But that I am a white man or a black woman or this or that, that's not true. When Krishna manifests his lila here in this material world, that is absolutely real. That is meant to pull us out of the dream and help us realize I'm not this or that, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. I belong back in the pastimes of Krishna. All right, we have time for one more. We have 55 seconds left. Actually, I'll save these unanswered questions for my next seminar tomorrow. Give me one. Yeah.
So if we are burnt, if we are burnt once,
yeah, burnt once.
Does it mean that we fall only once from the spiritual?
The question is, do we fall only once? Yes, because Krishna says in Gita, chapter 8, text number 16, he says, punar janma navijate, he will never fall again. So the Tathasta Shakti, living entity, he can fall once. But he, punar janma navijate, never falls again. Punar means again. Punar janma means birth. Na means not. Vijate means he takes. Again, birth, not, he takes. Sanskrit is backwards compared to our European languages. Actually, we are backwards. Sanskrit is for us. Our European languages are backwards. English is also a European language, you see. We reverse the Sanskrit. The Sanskrit is again, not again, birth, not he takes. That's the way you're supposed to say it. But in the Kali Yuga, we reverse it, say, oh, he doesn't take birth again. That's backwards. So just make this effort in this lifetime. I will take shelter of Guru, I get initiated, I obey my spiritual master, I'll take up sadhana bhakti very, very seriously, and in this way I'll go back and punar janma nibijate, I will never fall again. I will live happily ever after with Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world. Prabhupada will be there. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati will be there. Bhakti Vinod Thakur will be there. The ISKCON devotees will be there. We're going to have the ultimate Baltic festival in Goloka Vrindavan. Ki Jai. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Achilavai. Yeah.